Great. Wow. It is. Oh, this is loud. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited about being here. Really, really. Hang on just one second. Hang on. Always the way, isn't it? There you go. That's the first one. Right. So, yes, as Joe said, my name is Maggie, for those of you that don't know me. And this, Junction 10, was my spiritual home for 23 years. Okay, so I was here for 23 years, and we left about 8 years ago, and that was because we had a little girl, and she was a foster child. So when she got to the age of youth, sadly, she wasn't able to join the Warsaw Youth because of certain situations. So at the same time, a church had just started literally round the corner from where we lived in Gornal, called Springs Church. So that's why we moved, and we've been there ever since. So we've been there for about 8 years. So, greetings from Springs Church in Warsaw. But do you know, it's so lovely to be back and just to see some of the faces that I remember and just to see you going on with God is just awesome. But do you know what's even better? Seeing loads of faces that I don't know. So that means you're growing and you've got new stuff going on, which is really, really brilliant. So, we're going to get straight into the Word of God, all right? Because as well as telling you what we're doing over at Springs Church, we're also going to see what God's word says to us. And if you can get the first one on, we're looking at Isaiah 58, if you've got a Bible. If you haven't, you can follow me on the screen. And it says, I just need to give a bit of context to this, all right? So this is God's people crying out to God, all right? But are they God's people? I don't know. They're crying out to God saying, God, why aren't you listening to us? And he said, I'll tell you why, okay? So that's the context. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions, and they seem eager for God to come near to them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you haven't noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. You exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Next slide. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, this is the verse. And if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. Wow, what a passage. And it is an amazing passage. There's so much in there. But basically, the people were crying out to God, but he called them out. God said, they were saying, why didn't you answer our prayers? We fast, we sit in sackcloth and ashes, we humble ourselves, we do all this stuff, but you do nothing. And God says, maybe It's because you do all the religious things, but your heart is far from me. God, I don't know whether this is a word, but go with it. God called out their religiosity, yeah? Their outward practices that had no heart. Empty rituals. Verse 3 and 4, it says, yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please. You exploit your workers. It ends in quarreling and strife and striking each other with wicked fists. They please themselves. Jesus did the same thing in the New Testament, talking to the Pharisees. Do you remember those guys? Walked around in big, long robes, very, very religious. Do you know what he called them? Whitewashed tombs. Whitewashed tombs. On the outside, very pious, very lovely, did all the right things. But inside, they were rotting with no life. They went to the temple, they did long prayers, they did all the stuff. But their hearts were far from him. So in the Old Testament, we see in Isaiah, God speaks very, very strongly about it. In the New Testament, Jesus had no time for it. Okay? Even today. Now, these are very tough words to start a lovely Sunday morning, aren't they? I bet you weren't expecting this. Okay? But you'll be glad to know this is not my main message this morning. You'll be very glad to know. But it does set context for what is to come. However, saying that, there may be some people here who come to church to tick a box. Or they do all the right things because they think it's the right thing to do. But you know what? There's really good news this morning. God loves you so much more than that. And there is so much more. He loves you. He has a plan for you. He's desperate for a relationship with you. Not empty rituals. Not just doing it for the sake of it. But God has a real, real purpose and plan for your life. So this is where we get to verse 6. Can we get verse 6 back up? And it says, this is then God speaking. Is not the kind, this the kind of fasting I have chosen? This is what it's really all about. Is this not what I want? Loose the chains of injustice. Untie the cords of the yoke. Set the oppressed free. Share your food with the hungry. Provide the poor wanderer with shelter. If you see somebody naked, clothe them. Keep going. Turn over the next one. Thank you. Then you will call to me. And then verse 10. If you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry, satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will shine in the darkness. Now, I've got a prop, but I forgot to bring it up with me. Hold on. Making noises. There we go. Here we go. £10 note. Right? Now, if I gave you this £10 note, right, for your birthday, right, you'd think to yourself, ooh, what am I going to spend that on? Wouldn't you? What can I spend that on that's going to be really nice? Now, you only get chance to spend this £10 note once, don't you? When it's gone, it's gone. All right? Spend yourself. The word of God says, you have got one life, just like there's this one £10 note. I know we have another life in eternity, but down here, we have one life. And as a follower of Jesus, how do you spend your life? Big, big question, I know that. And sometimes we get really caught up with, I don't know what God's will for my life is, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Hey, it's really simple. The word of God already tells us. Spend yourself on behalf of others. Whether that's practically or spiritually. Spend yourself on behalf of others. On behalf of the hungry, the naked, the oppressed, the orphan, the widows, those in need. Sit with somebody who's just become a Christian. Spend time with them. Meet up with them once a week to say you'll pray for them. Meet up with them and just explain the word of God once a week. Spend yourself on behalf of those who have become Christians. Spend yourself on behalf of somebody who's poorly. Just 1 hour a week. Just go, sit with them, talk to them, pray with them. Spend yourself on behalf of those who've got nobody. Elderly relative. They've got no one. Go, spend yourself on behalf of them. Matthew 25 in the New Testament talks, Jesus talks about how he's going to judge the peoples of the earth at the end day. All right? And we know that the only way to spend eternity with the Lord is to receive Jesus as your saviour. We know that that is the case. But listen to what Jesus says. He says, right, you go over there and you go over there. And he split up all the peoples of the earth. And he said to this crowd, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you look after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And the guys go, when did we do that then? And he said, whatever you did for the least of one of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And to the others, this is harsh, to the others he said, I never knew you. That's really tough, isn't it? So this brings me to 6 years ago. Okay, 6 years ago, I got a bit of time on my hands, and I said to Pete and John, the two pastors of Springs Church, look, I'll give you a day a week. I don't know if you want it, but you can have it. I'll give you a day a week to do something with me if you want. Unbeknownst to me, they'd had a previous core team meeting where they decided that they wanted to take on a community worker and a youth worker. So run through to January 2019, and I was taken on for 2 days a week alongside a youth worker. And they also had a third person to help me with the community work. That was very amazing for a very young church. I think they'd only been 2 years old at that point. They took on three part-time workers. We thought, right, what are we going to do? All my instructions were, go and dream big. That's all they said to me. So I thought, right, we need a little quick win. So we did a uniform recycling scheme, which was where we took pre-loved uniform from the two schools, kids who'd grown out of their uniform, but it was good. And we recycled it, and anybody who needed free uniform could come to us for that. Very quickly, my house became to look like a... well, you can imagine. Anybody who's been in that kind of work or kids' work, your house becomes cluttered with everything. So I knew a local landowner, and I said to him, have you got any garages? I need a garage. No, Maggie. Went to him again. Have you got any garages? I desperately need somewhere to put uniform. No. Went to him again. Shut up, he says. Right, I've got a three-story building with a cellar that is old, derelict, falling down, stuffed with rubbish. And I said, can I have a look? And he said, all right then. So he gave me the keys. He gave me the keys. It was horrific. It smelt. It was awful. It was full. It had got horrific stuff everywhere. It was just really bad. Got husband, Steve Ian, to have a look around. And I said, is this realistic? Can we do anything? He said, if the church get behind it, and every Tuesday and Saturday for 5 months, they work with us, we can get this done. Okay, so John and Pete were like, should we do it? Yeah, they only gave us 18 months for the building because Aldi was going to come at some point. So we said, yeah, let's do it. So we got ready, got all the stuff out. That took forever. Then we were about to do the renovations. We'd put some paint in there. My little girl at that point was into Frozen. Do you remember the whole Frozen thing? Yeah. We had dark purple paint and white paint. We were going to mix it all up and make the place a nice lilac. All right? Anyway, the first Saturday came. Everybody was for church, was going to turn up. Stevie goes on ahead. Opens up the door. Now, this building had been derelict for like 6 or 7 years. Nothing had happened with it. Stevie walks in the door and thinks, there's something amiss. There's something not right. Starts walking around the building. Oh, dear. Now, this is a little shocking, and I want to prepare you for this. I've got photographs that I'm going to show you of what the place was like. It is a bit upset. These are four photographs, or three photographs, of the things I can show you. The place was absolutely covered not quite yet, covered in graffiti, dark purple graffiti, every single room, every single floor. It had upside down crosses. It had swastikas. It had horrific slogans. The whole place was vandal, yeah. So if you can show the photo. Okay, so that's just a little bit of what I can show you. On the top left, you can see that there's a chairs and table and stuff. What they'd done, they'd gone down into the cellar and they'd made it look like the headquarters of a Nazi kind of operations. I can't tell you the horrificness in the rest of the rooms that was all over a three-story building and a cellar. Obviously, we were just stunned. Stunned beyond measure. However, we got a group of folk in. We said, this is not... On that day, I remember distinctly, once the police had gone, and the police said, don't tell anyone, because this could potentially cause a mass problem in Gornal. So we kept it all to ourselves. We prayed. Probably one of the most powerful prayer meetings I have ever been in that building at that time. It was incredible. But if you can do the next picture... We galvanised. It just galvanised us because we knew that we were doing the Lord's work. It galvanised us. We got other church next to us to help us as well, who knew about it. And we had loads of people come and literally pray in the building and just start the hard work of getting everything off. This guy, bottom right, he'd got no legs. And he came and he was scrubbing everything off. One of the most powerful pictures for me is the young black woman at the top rubbing off a swastika. I'm getting emotional, thank you. It was incredible and painful all at the same time, but we knew that it was what God was doing to us. So, next picture. Hey, there's the group of us that day, I think. That was our group, like every Tuesday, every Saturday for 5 months. The whole church came out and just got on with the job of getting the place ready to minister to our community. Next one, please. Hey, and there it is. So it's our three-story building called Hope House. So we actually opened Hope House September 2019. The Lord told us very clearly, I want you to minister to the lonely and the isolated. And also, I want you to minister to those who are in poverty. Poverty of food, poverty of money, but poverty of mind, poverty of hope, poverty of aspiration, poverty of heart. I want you to minister. And he told us how to do it. He was so specific. Romans 2, he said, the kindness of God leads to repentance. Your strategy, Maggie, is be kind. Be kind. Be over and above kind. Be generous in your kindness. Just be kind. And that's what we did. 6 months, we went for it. We got a name for ourselves with the local council. They loved what we were doing. Loads of people, community groups wanted to know what was going on. People were sending us referrals left, right and centre. We were doing all sorts of stuff. It was brilliant. And then COVID happened 6 months later and shut us all down. But you know what? God had strategically told us, work with the isolated. Those who are socially isolated, those who are in need. We were expertly positioned to deal with COVID. I have never been so busy in my life. I was also sheltering that time, my 90-year-old mom. So I was at home. The local council was sending me referrals. I then got 40 people in my church signed up to do prescription runs, shopping runs, telephone befriending for people who couldn't get out and weren't seeing anybody. Do you know, God had so set us up to do some phenomenal work during that COVID time. It was absolutely incredible. It's almost as though he knew what he was doing. Do you know? So we worked really, really hard during that time. And do you know what? When COVID was over and we were able to open up again, we had more people than we did before COVID. It was incredible. It was absolutely incredible. Because we had met hundreds of people that we would never have met had COVID not happened. And they were like, oh, so that's where you're from, Hope House, Springs Church. Wow, that's incredible. We had more people. Hundreds and hundreds. I don't know whether I can say thousands. I might be able to, but I don't want to exaggerate. But hundreds and hundreds of people have seen the gospel in action. Hundreds. And hundreds and hundreds of people are further on in their walk with Jesus as a result of us being in that community. 10 folk have openly given their lives to Jesus, which is just awesome and lovely. And I've got 3 of them sat on the front here who've never done anything like this before. So, but they're dead excited. They're not nervous. So at this point, I'm going to ask Cynthia. Yeah, come on, Cynthia. She's very nervous. Give her a round of applause. Come on. Come on.
Hi, everyone. My name's Cynthia, as Maggie says, and I want to take you through my journey to become, how I became a Christian. I first gave myself to Jesus when I was 22. I was in desperate need of something. But sadly, I let life and temptations get in the way. But for many years after that, I searched places for something. I was searching for something to give me the peace that I really needed at the time. A friend introduced me to Hope House, as Maggie's described, how we've grown. And that was a place where I fitted in. That's where a place I wanted to be, so I continued with volunteering there. But after that, I did an Alpha course. You probably all know what Alpha courses are.
There you go.
I should put it up there, should I?
No, it's okay.
Thank you. There were so many questions going around in my head. There were so many questions going around in my head. And then Maggie, our dear friend, says, why don't you come to church? I did, and I found the calm, the love, the peace that I so much really needed at the time. I gave myself to Jesus again, seriously this time. But little did I realise that God had been with me ever since I was 22. He's got me through all my troubles, and here I am to speak today. I'd like to share you all a little reminder that God's always with you, and it is something you've probably read before. Excuse me. It's a verse called Footprints. You've probably heard it all. But it really struck home with me. So I'm going to read it to you. It's, one night a man had a dream that he was walking along the sand with Jesus. He, as they walked, scenes of the man's life flashed before him. Like this. And for each scene, he noticed that there were 2 sets of footprints. But in his hours of need, there was only ever one. This bothered him, so he said to the Lord, hang on, turn the page. The Lord about this. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way, all my life. But, Lord, I have noticed that during the most troublesome times I've had in my life, there has only been one set of footprints. I don't understand why. And the Lord replied, my precious child, I love you. And the times you saw only one set of footprints, that's the time I carried you. Awesome, eh?
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Cynthia. And as a kind of outsider, I have seen the reality of that in Cynthia's life. Cynthia has been through a lot of difficulties. And from the time that she first came to us to now, I have seen a massive change in her ability to trust God in those difficult times and to actually experience the peace of God. Right, now I'm going to ask V to come up. And V is an incredible, I don't know what the word is, person who writes poetry. Poets, that's the word, yeah. There you go.
Thank you. This is a poem about Hope House and Springs Church. The very first time I went to Hope House anew, I wanted to join in with the craft group with Sue. I remember we made 3D roses out of cans, being so very careful not to cut our hands. Afterwards, I joined in with the others there to chat, having coffee and cake, talking about this and that. I was made to feel welcome and couldn't wait to tell my husband at home so that he could try it as well. So we went in together and I went off to Kraft, leaving him to meet Gerald and having a chat, getting to know new people who soon became friends, but this really isn't where our story ends. We both joined an Alpha course to try to find out more about the Bible and the Holy Spirit without doubt. We soon became interested in finding out more and we became Christians, so we're non-believers no more. We were invited to join into a life group to see how the life of being a Christian could be. We learned such a lot and had new friends galore whilst reading the Bible and wanting to explore. We look forward to going to church each week and listening to hear what the pastors would speak. The worship songs made us both really happy. The band played and we were all very clappy clappy. We both were also baptised, each separately. Dave doing it first and a year later, it was me. Now we both have a completely new way of living, as God has been just so very forgiving. I'm now a Kraft volunteer and really enjoy showing how to learn new skills to the class that's growing. We all do enjoy our weekly get-together, turning up on Mondays, whatever the weather. Hope House has been a brilliant part of our living that now we feel that we should both be giving back to the community that welcomed us so in our journey that didn't seem so long ago. Thank you.
Brilliant. 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 Yeah, so both Cynthia and V. Cynthia's one of the volunteers in our cafe. V runs our craft group, which is just awesome. Just 3 weeks ago, I had the absolute privilege of praying with someone in the cafe and she gave her life to the Lord as well. So just absolutely awesome. And she's been on an amazing journey just over the last 3 weeks with us. It's just been incredible. So what do we do? Let's quickly tell you what we do. I think that's the next slide. Right, so we do community prayer. So half an hour. I only work on a Monday and Tuesday. That's what they tell me, all right? Right, so Mondays and Tuesdays, we do community prayer in the morning. So any people in the community know that. They come in and they get prayed for. We pray for lots of people. Community cafe, we run a community cafe. Everything's totally free. People can come in, go, anybody comes in. We sometimes get overrun. But, it's fun. We run a community craft group. V does that. That is so effective. So many people come in, and it is so good. It is good quality stuff. Community grocery store. We run a community grocery store. That's the only thing we do that's not free. They pay £5, and they get £35 to £40 worth of food. So it's incredibly subsidised. But you do have to be a member of that. Otherwise, we'd have the whole world turning up. We run a debt advice service, totally free. We have qualified debt advice workers. We run a people counselling service. This is in conjunction with Birmingham University. They come in, they provide the counselling for us. You know, like doctors have to do so many hours before they can be called a doctor. Well, counsellors have to do so many hours of counselling before they can be actually classed as a counsellor. So we have those people come in. They do all their hours. They're heavily supervised by their professors, and it's awesome. And then there's a few other things that we do. We have a youth club. I'm not involved in that. We have a toddler group called Mini Springs. I'm not involved in that. So those are the things that we do. We also do 101 other things, as you would expect. Behind the scenes, so much goes on. We do big celebration events. We do men's nights. We do spa days. We do one-off gifts. We do food bank. We do lots of other things as well behind the scenes. Some of our people, six of them, have just come back from Benidorm. Now, these are six people who were lonely and isolated, who had no friends in the area, came to Hope House, made friends, realised, they're all in their 70s. They've got life in them. They wanted to do something. They went to Benidorm, went away for a week, came back. I mean, that is a success in my eyes. We had a group go away on a Caribbean cruise. Caribbean cruise. I mean, it's... all goes on at Hope House. It's incredible. just two little stories. The one day, we were at Hope House, and I heard a lady on the phone over-talking to another person, and they were trying to make a date to meet up. And I heard the lady on the phone in Hope House say, "Oh, I can't make that day, I'm at church." And I didn't realise that she went to church. So after the telephone call, I went up to her and I said, "Oh, it's nice to hear you go to church. Where'd you go?" And she looked at me really confused. And she went, "I come here." Now, that just blessed my heart. We're in a three-story building. It's a house. But she, to her, it was church. And isn't that what it's all about? Us as community being church. I should not have been surprised, you know? And it was just a real reminder to me. So that was just so lovely. We've emptied a house for a lady whose husband died, and she just found it too painful. So I've been to the house. We've sorted it all out. There's so many little jobs behind the scenes because you get involved in people's lives, and that's the whole thing. And that's not a 2 day a week job, is it? That's the thing. One other story. This is probably the most bizarre thing I've ever done at Hope House. One of our ladies became very poorly, ended up in a psychiatric unit, and decided she wanted to change her name. So I went into the psychiatric unit, witnessed the deed poll that she was signing, changing her name, and ended up having to go around and tell everybody that she changed her name, go to the doctors, go to the bank, go to everywhere and tell them. So we do get some very strange things going on. So this is our current outworking of Isaiah 58. We've never, ever, ever been interested in big numbers at Hope House. Never. It's always been about the individual. Now, in January this year, well, actually, it was the end of last year, we were told Aldi are coming. So we were told we'd got the building for 18 months. We actually had it for 4 years. So that's brilliant news. But we had to get out. So now we have moved all our operations to the local church in Gornal, which is a big, massive Methodist church, which is where our actual church is based as well. So we're hiring out the local Methodist church, and we have our church and all our community work in the same place. But it's at this point, I just want to check time, because I'm going to ask Dave to come up, and he's our last one who's going to tell us about what's happened to him. Come on, Dave. Right, you okay? Right, so my first question to you, Dave, is why did you initially come to Hope House?
Well, my wife had priorly been, as you know, and I went up to be inquisitive, and I'll be honest with you, because I hadn't met anybody in Gornal Wood, because I'm a Birmingham lad. And anyway, I went into there, and the first person I spoke to was a guy called Gerald. And it wasn't long, I'm going to get emotional now, it wasn't long before something was happening, because Gerald was telling me that he was a Christian for many, many, many years, and I got interested and carried on from there. And quite honestly, it was very, very, I come back to Vern, I said, I found that amazing, and something was happening even then.
So what started you thinking about God very specifically?
Well, I look back in my life, and I've got to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I didn't have a very good life. I was a nasty person, and I did some nasty things, and I wasn't sort of a right person. I had a real bad temper, and I wanted to change. And when I was speaking to the likes of Gerald, I thought, hey, there's something new here. And probably Maggie will tell you, I was a bit, I'm going to pass it back to Maggie.
So, yeah. He's had a colourful past. Should we just put it like that? Yeah? But it was very clear that God was doing something in his life. He was asking lots and lots of questions. So tell everybody what actually happened that changed your life.
Well, the Alpha course was on. And me and Vias told you, we went to the Alpha course. And in that Alpha course, it was called the Holy Spirit. And what happened, I was sitting around the table and I was listening to this documentary, And all of a sudden, I felt something strange. And I turned around to this gentleman called Pastor John. And I said, John, there's something happening here. He says, I know. Anyway, I walked through to the back room. And John was there with me. And something strange happened, very much so. I won't go into all the detail, but all I'll say is Pete had joined us then, Pastor Pete, and I was holding hands, and there was a fire, and I couldn't believe what was happening. There was a fire inside me. And at 78 years old then, 2 years ago, I thought, no, this can't be happening, and it did. It did, and I won't go into every detail because it's very long. Strange as it seems, I come out of there, well, gobsmacked. And I thought, my goodness, and I couldn't wait to get on to tell V. And it's all happened from there.
Dave had a really powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit on that day, and he has never, ever, ever, ever been the same man again, have you? He's holding it together very well. I'm very impressed. All right. And so lastly, what your last question is, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus in a real way, it's more empty ritual, it's more coming and doing the stuff because it's doing the stuff, what would you say to them?
Well, I'll just go back a little bit. After the encounter with the Holy Spirit, I then wanted to get baptized. And I truly mean that. And I said to John, I want to get baptized. I feel I want to be baptized. I've had a word with the Lord. And before that, I was praying that certain things would happen. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, the Lord heard me. And I had the blessed Lord tell me that my past is all over. Yep. And he has forgiven me. Yeah. And I said to John at the time, John, I can't be a Christian because I've got a wicked past. But the Lord did. And I'm now in my 80th year. And the last 2 years I've been reborn. And I'm not ashamed or embarrassed by saying, and I talk to people in the bus shelters, we'll tell you. I have spoken to people and to see them smiling and hugs. That's my favourite word, hugs. And hugs and see smiling people is wonderful. It's the best thing on earth. And I was glad I was reborn, a Christian. And it's done me the power of good. All me hot heading, I'm still learning. And the people laugh at me, especially John. I'm on an apprenticeship. I'm a second year into my apprenticeship. I've been here for 5 years. What happens then is the next stage. Because I won't be perfect. There's only one perfect person, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. It's the Lord. Hallelujah. And yeah. Praise the Lord.
Brilliant. Have a seat. Dave is such an evangelist. It is untrue. Thank you, Dave. That's brilliant. So I'm concluding now. We're finished. Okay, so do you know God isn't into empty ritual? This is what God's into. Lives changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the challenge this morning, we've got no illusions of grandeur. It's Springs Church. You know, this is very small in the grand scheme of things, what we're doing. But you know, it's one life at a time. And it's how we spend ourselves. So the challenge this morning is, what's in your heart? How do you spend yourself? How do you spend yourself? As a church, how do you spend yourself? As an individual, how do you spend yourself? How do you invest in other people? Thank you. How do you invest in others? Let's pray. I'm just going to give you just a minute just to talk to God on your own. Just to think about your own life, what God has done for you, and how you use what he has given you to invest in others spiritually and practically. And there very well may be some people here today who you haven't got what V's got, or Dave or Cynthia. And it kind of feels a bit more ritualistic than real abundant life. And it would be absolutely wrong of me to not give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus today. Just got to give you that opportunity. So while everybody is bowed in prayer, let's just pray. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us. And Lord, I pray that you will just speak your words into the hearts of the folks here today, that they will hear your words. And if there's anybody here who wants, for the first time, just to say, I want to start this journey with Jesus, then just look up and look at me while everybody else has got their heads bowed. Just look up. Fantastic. Father, I praise you this morning because you are a good God and there are lives here that just so want to be on fire for you, spending themselves as you would want them to. Lord, I thank you for people who want you in their lives, and I pray that you would continue to help them as they grow and as they love you more, that, Lord, they would be on fire for you, spending themselves alongside others. Lord, I thank you for all you're doing in this place. Just continue to pray your goodness, your favour, your blessing, everything over this church, that the rest of this community would say, what's going on there? We want to know. We want to be a part of it. And so, Lord, we thank you and just pray that you will continue to minister your goodness, your love, your life into this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.